3,000 years ago, Hannah was born in the land of Israel. It was a land of farming and ranching. She was a country girl. It appeared that Hannah was doomed to a second-rate existence. In a world where mothers were valued, Hannah had no children, and it appeared she never would. She was married to a fairly wealthy man by the name of Elkanah. He could afford two wives and many children. She had an adversary in the form of Peninnah, Elkanah's second wife. Peninnah provoked Hannah. Hannah lived a life of being continually upset because of Peninnah. In the ancient world, it was thought that if one was not blessed, it was because of sin in your life. It was a great problem for Rachel, the wife of Jacob. She had no children, and her sister had many. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. Job was accused of sin because of his calamities. Job chapter 8. He was accused of his friend because he simply had great calamity. Therefore, he had to have had great sin. Even centuries later, Elizabeth thanked the Lord for taking away her reproach among men. Luke chapter 1, verse 25. But Hannah had a spirit that would not give up. She was only willing to accept her lot if God said so. She was willing to offer to God all she had. How Hannah went about trying to change her lot is well worth studying. What we're going to notice today is Hannah's trust in God, and then Hannah's knowledge of God, Hannah's integrity, and finally, Hannah's bounty. Hannah trusted God. She was convinced that God answers prayers, even the prayers of a barren woman. Hannah was in bitterness of soul. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12, she and Elkanah were not capable. She was barren. Apparently, Elkanah was well capable because his second wife had multiple children. And so Hannah was barren. She was harassed by her rival. We that trust are at our most powerful when we have no more reserves of our own. We sing the song, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" And we find that this was true of Hannah. She knew that there was only one place to go. She knew that no man or woman alive could help her with her problem. She had to take it to the Lord. She made her request and was validated by the high priest. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17. She came before the high priest, which was Eli, and she appeared as one that was drunken. He upbraided her about this, and she told him and proved to him that she was not drunken. She was pouring out her heart before God. And so she convinced him, and he sent her on her way, saying that God should give her the grant her the petition that she had asked. Verse 17 reads, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And so I can't imagine that she would leave that place in any condition but hopeful. The text reads and tells us that she received her request. Notice verse 19. "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." She had a son. One can only imagine the look on her face when next she heard the empty, shallow bleatings of her rival in the future. She had a son. She had a son, and she kept her vow. She took him to Eli, and Eli raised him in the service of the Lord. So when she heard from her rival in the future, there was no weight to it. She was no longer fretting. She was a woman blessed of God. It reminds us in the New Testament of a woman that came to Jesus because she had an issue of blood. This issue of blood caused her to drain all her finances so that she had tried to get help, but there was no place else for her to go. "Where could I go but to the Lord?" sings out to us once again. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, we read of this story. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, Who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.' This is the same spirit in which Hannah came unto the Lord. Where could I go but to the Lord? The woman with the issue of blood had no place else to go. She could only die in her condition, but she was convinced that if she just touched the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And so she intrepidly went forth, went through the crowds, and touched his garment. And she was healed." We see in Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28, another woman. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. This was a woman of Canaan, and she was among the Tyre and Sidon people. And Jesus had come into their coasts, and she had need. She had need of her child being ill. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet or suitable to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Whole from that very hour. She saw the opportunity. And she knew him to be the son of David. And she said within herself, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" Where do you go when you're out of resources? When your back's against the wall, when there's a knot at the end of your rope, and you're just hanging on, where do you go? Do you just give up? Or do you take it to the Lord? You know, he's the source of all good things. He's the source of miracles. Are you willing to give it all back to God? In Matthew chapter 19, verses 26 and following, we have a man with a problem. He wants to follow the Lord, but he doesn't want to give anything up. "And behold, one came unto him, came and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.' He saith unto him, 'Which?' Jesus said, 'Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' The young man saith unto him, 'All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?' Jesus said unto him, 'If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter, and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generation, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Perhaps there are some Christians today that just haven't gotten the idea of how to interpret this passage. They see a young man that is sorrowful because he has great things. Jesus has told him to sell everything and come follow him. But has he not told us the same thing? All we have is God's. All we have to deal with is to deal with his service. Everything we have as Christians is sold, given to the poor as they have need. And we are to be called upon for service to God at any time. Yes, we may give it all to God. It's just like Hannah. Hannah was willing to give up the very thing that she was given for God's blessing. And when we become Christians, we must give it all up too. We may not be required to sell all that we have. No. But the idea is that none of it belongs to us. We may be billionaires, but it's all to be used to the glory of God. Hannah trusted God. She was convinced that God answers prayers, even the prayers of a barren woman. We also need to see, because it's important to the story, that Hannah knew her Bible. Turn with me back to our text, to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and following. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. She wasn't a simple-minded material girl. This woman knew her Bible. She spoke of salvation. She spoke of victory. She spoke of holiness and judgment. She spoke of God's ability compared to man's. She spoke of God's omnipotence, once again, his ability. It brings to mind the knowledge of Mary. We shouldn't wonder why Mary was chosen above all of her generation. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and following. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and following. We find in Mary someone who knew God, who knew about him, who could tell you what God would say in a given situation. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. We've read enough for us to know. We've read enough for us to know that Mary had a source of faith, just like Hannah did. There was a source that others did not have the opportunity or the wherewithal to draw from. That is the knowledge of God, how God thinks, how God reacts. Mary brings Hannah brings to mind Mary's knowledge. So, if faith comes by hearing the word of God, and it does, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the knowledge of God is where we get our faith, where we get our trust, where we get our confidence in God. Hannah listened to the teachers and priests and took the things of God to heart. I don't know in 3,000 years ago whether Hannah could read the scriptures herself or whether she ever had the opportunity to hold a scroll in her hand. But there were those that taught, and she listened to the teachings of her family members and of the priests and high priest. Have you ever bemoaned the fact that a deep knowledge of Scripture has eluded you? You've been a Christian 10, 20, 30 years, and you wonder why you don't have a greater faith? You wonder why you don't have a greater knowledge of God? Well, it's something that must be pursued. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, we find the Apostle Paul reminding Timothy, his son in the faith, who had a great work to work, that he had some things to do. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The verse before it is the one I really want to pay attention to. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. How is that word attendance? How does that compare, or how does that relate to the attendance we talk about today? We see someone not in worship, and we see that they have not attended, and we see that their attendance is low. What is that all about? Why do we use the word attendance? When we give attendance to something, we give patience to it. When we use the word attendance, it means you're there. It means you're listening. And it has to do with privately as well. If you have to give attendance to reading, you're going to be about doing the job of reading. It reminds us of Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, and that blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That man is going to be the blessed man. That man is going to know about God. That man is going to be able to approach God confidently because he has great faith and confidence in our Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It takes time. It takes attendance. It takes patience in order to have that kind of knowledge in your heart so that you can avoid offending God. In Ezra chapter 7, we read about a man, that man being Ezra, who has spent his life in order to serve God in a particular way. He wanted to be knowledgeable in the Scriptures so that when people look to him for leadership, he would be able to lead them in the knowledge of God. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. At this time, I want to take note of Hannah's integrity. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, she made the promise, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She also promised that no razor would come upon his head. Judges 13 and verse 5 tells us about how Samson was ordered to live that same, that he was to be a, a Nazarite from his birth. And so we think that Samuel must have been a Nazarite as well. It was a vow that if you were an adult, you could promise to do these things for a particular period of time. He was presented to Eli. Samuel was taken to Eli, presented to him, and Eli was to raise him and train him until his adulthood. And so, in Hannah's integrity, she did not say like so many people do today, Lord, it's a dark and stormy night. I want you to keep my family safe. And if you do, I'll quit smoking, or I'll clean up my language, or I'll attend worship like I should. No, it wasn't like that. Hannah promised to give up her son. And then what did she do? Did she forget? Did she claim, no, the Lord wouldn't want me to do that anyway? No, she didn't do that. She gave up her son. She was not around him daily anymore. She entrusted him to the high priest. I don't see how doing anything you're already supposed to do would interest God. Things like quitting smoking or cleaning up your language or attending worship like you should. I don't see how God would really be interested in that kind of thing. But in a woman from the depths of her heart giving up her most prized thing, I think he would be interested in that. Hannah's vow wasn't something she should already be doing. No, it wasn't integrity. It was something that, it was the most she could do. I can't think of anything more she could possibly have done than give up her child to God himself. I want to also point out that Hannah received more than she asked for. In chapter 2 and verse 21, you'll read that she had two more sons and two daughters. There was no more bitterness of soul, no more fretting. No, she was fully and utterly blessed. For us today, we need to understand that God delights in giving. Perhaps sometime in the past, we prayed to God about something. Something we really wanted, but it was not a thing of God. It was a thing of man. It was something that God wasn't interested in, and so he didn't answer the prayer positively. He said no. And you've given up on praying. You don't want that experience again. But as you grow, you find out what God really wants out of man. And maybe you ask for better things. Things that are greater and higher. Things that are not just to be spent on yourself. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God delights in giving. We need to understand that, and I think Hannah came to understand that. As she had her first child, Samuel, she had two more sons and two daughters. She was blessed, utterly and completely blessed. God is the giver of all good things. We learned that so many times in James chapter 1 and verse 17. We see that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If God gave good gifts to Hannah, if God gave good gifts to so many in the Bible, won't he give good gifts to you? Hannah showed you how to ask for those things, how to take it to God when you're at the end of your rope and you don't have anywhere else to go. You go to the Lord. Notice 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. God had given David so many good things. David was the recipient of more than he could have asked for. David was not a perfect man, but David was the man after God's own heart. And so God gave David a son and a promise. A promise that of the loins of David, there would be someone sitting on the throne of Israel perpetually. So it's time for Solomon to talk to God. And Solomon is worried about being a young man. Some have reckoned that he's only about 18 years old when he takes the throne. 18 years old and charged with judging this great people. And he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for long life. He could have asked for great riches. He could have asked for so many things. But he asked for wisdom and understanding. God was exceedingly pleased because he asked for these things. And he was so happy to give to him the understanding and the wisdom that he gave him so many more things and a promise that if he kept God's word, that he would live a long life. Well, in so many ways, Solomon failed. And so he did not get the long life, but he got the riches. He got the wisdom. He got the understanding. He got so many things from God because God wanted to give it to him. But he died when he was about 58 years old, having reigned for 40 years. Solomon had no other place to go. He wanted to be able to rule this people, God's people. And he took it to the Lord, the only place he could go for that wisdom and understanding. This is a very personal story. Our crises are very personal. It may be illness that has us at the end of our rope. It may be financial crisis. It may be safety. It may be the political future of our world. It may be many, many things. Answered prayer calls for a spirit that will lay it all in God's hands. Have you laid it in God's hands? Have you decided, where can I go but to the Lord? Hannah approached boldly to the throne of God and made her request. She then committed everything to him. She kept back nothing. This hour, I want you to commit yourself to trusting God. I want you to commit yourself to knowing your Bible. I want you to commit yourself to keeping your vows.